Father, thank you again for the time you have given to us to look into your word. Help us to understand what you would have us to do in this life here on earth. Help us to then, after we understand it, help us to do it and to walk in the steps you have prepared for us. So teach our hearts the truth you have tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. We are in Ephesians chapter 5. We've been looking, last week we looked at a section from verses 8 through 14, where Paul says we are now light in the Lord. We were formerly darkness, but now we are light, and so we should be walking as children of light. That is, we should conduct ourselves in a way that befits who we are in Christ. We are to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather to expose them. And part of our work for Christ is to expose what is not pleasing to God, expose sin for what it is, that it is darkness. So tonight we'll begin with verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. There we go. So we are to walk circumspectly, and there are three major ways in this section how we are to do that. The first is redeeming the time. The second is understanding the will of the Lord. And the third is being filled with the Spirit. That's what? Okay. Okay. Yes. Be filled with the Spirit, not with spirits. Exactly. Okay. Verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly. Another translation says, look carefully then how you walk. The word circumspectly means exactly, strictly, perfectly, accurately, carefully. This is what the word itself means. It can be applied either to the verb to walk, we are to walk carefully, or we are to look carefully how we walk. But either way, the idea is the same. We are to look all around, pay attention to all circumstances and consequences as though we were passing through a very dangerous place. And then we are to watch our step. Yes.
Walk into the light if we are the Lord's children.
Right, right.
Walk into the light circumspectly into this life.
So we are. The Spirit helps our walk, of course. We do not walk in our own strength. So we are to watch where we walk, how we step, and we are to step carefully. We are to live in strict conformity to God's standard and guard against anything that would be improper for a Christian. So step carefully and look carefully. For a visual on this, I have four pictures here of a section in the Pacific Northwest called, what is that? The Goat Rocks. Goat Rocks Mountain. It's a section of trail that is very rocky. This first picture isn't that bad, but here you can see it gets steep. You have to watch where you're stepping, and then you do have to step carefully. It can get dangerous if you don't pay attention to what you're doing. It can be slippery. Some of these were very dangerous places. So we are to both watch where we're going and step very carefully. Now, this is not saying so that we don't trip and break your nose, but he is talking about our lives, our lifestyle. So as light in the Lord, we are not to join in with works of darkness, but rather to expose them. Therefore, we must take heed that we walk exactly or strictly on the path that God has for us, paying close attention to the steps that we take. In Galatians chapter 6, verse 1, Paul writes, "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted." So there is danger that as we would try to enlighten those who walk in darkness, if we are exposing the works of darkness, that our own walk could stray from the light. So it is necessary for us to show at all times and in every way that we have put off the old man and that we are no longer who we were when we were unsaved. We are a new creation created in true righteousness and holiness. We need to see to it that our walk is strictly consistent with what God has called us to do. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, Moses says, "Therefore you shall be careful to do as the Lord your God has commanded you. You shall not turn aside to the right hand or to the left. You shall walk in all the ways which the Lord your God has commanded you, that you may live and that it may be well with you, and that you may prolong your days in the land which you shall possess." So God required strict obedience to what he commanded the Israelites for them to receive the promise that he had guaranteed them. So the rule of our walk is to be in wisdom, not as unwise, but as wise. Or I believe the New King James says not as fools, but as wise. But that's actually better unwise. It's the same word as wise with the word not before it. So the rule of our walk is to be in wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Our lives should show that God is most important to us and all other things secondary. The unwise are those who walk in darkness, who are darkness, and the wise are those who are light in the Lord. The unwise have no insight into spiritual truth or things that pertain to godliness. The unwise place great importance on what is unimportant or even harmful, and little value on what is truly important. The unwise have their minds set on temporary earthly things, and the wise have their mind set on things above, eternal matters. So our walk is to reflect who we are again. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, in his prayer, Paul asks that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And James writes in chapter 1, verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." So one thing, if we are unwise, if you see that you are walking in a way that is not a wise walk, just ask God, ask him in faith, and he will give it. He gives without reproach. One aspect of wise living is making wise judgments in the use of our time, which brings us to verse 16. He says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." There are a couple different ways this has been explained. To redeem the time, redeem can mean to buy up, to ransom, to rescue from loss. So some say that we are to purchase time, so to speak. And they have their different views of whom we purchase them from, or what the cost is. But neither of those are really mentioned here, so that's not the focus of what Paul's writing. In the Greek translation of the Old Testament, in Daniel 2:8, there are the same words here for redeeming and time, which is translated a little differently. King Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. He called the magicians, the sorcerers, the astrologers. He charged them to tell him the dream and its interpretation. They said to the king that they would tell the interpretation if he told them the dream first. And in Daniel 2:8, Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "I know for certain that you would gain time because you see that my decision is firm." Those are the same words here as redeeming the time. So the idea there is that they were stalling for time, prolonging the time they had, or trying to gain an opportunity to get around the king's decree. So either usage, I guess, still kind of could fit there as far as that is concerned. The word time here could mean a set or proper time, opportunity, or season. So that's why different translations will word this differently. It could be making the most of your time or every opportunity, or redeeming the time. Yes, Curtis, did you have a question?
Could it also mean also keeping our mind set on the Lord?
That would be one aspect of walking wisely, circumspectly, keeping our mind set on things that are truly important. So there are two main views on how this verse should be taken, and they kind of fit together. They don't really conflict with each other, and there are good points, I guess, to both views. So one view is that we are to seize on every opportunity for doing good. Make the most of the opportunity. We should not wait for an opportunity to fall into our lap, but we should search it out or buy it up. The opportunity missed will never return. Opportunities come and quickly slip past us. Therefore, we should use each opportunity for good. The wise Christian will recognize opportunities for godly service and use them while he can. We should improve every opportunity for good. Whatever occasion or circumstance we find ourselves in, we should use it for good. This kind of fits in both views too. In Mark chapter 1, there's a short passage that just shows how much service Jesus did in one day.
We should look for all the Lord and for
right. Don't let them pass by. Don't miss them, but be looking for them. Yeah. In Mark 1, verse 21, then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Now as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases, and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak, because they knew him. So all this in one day, Jesus did not stop working. He made the most of every opportunity. He did not waste any time. And then he began in verse 35, Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. So he didn't stop. He barely rested that whole day. He got back up before sunrise even. Yeah, don't waste time doing it. But work, I guess. So the other view here is that we are to make the most of the time given to us, rescuing it, redeeming it from waste or abuse. Time is a precious commodity. We have a set limited amount of time. We don't know how much time we have, but it is a fixed amount. Tomorrow is not guaranteed for any one of us, so we are to walk wisely. We are to wisely use the time that we do have. If you waste your time, you will waste your life. And I did want to spend a bit of time on this, I guess, because it's maybe a thing I struggle with myself, so I'm probably teaching myself more than you, but I did listen recently to a sermon on this verse itself, and some of my notes will come from that too. So our time on earth is limited. Our days are numbered. In Job 14, Job says in verse 1, "Man who is born of woman is of few days and full of trouble." And in verse 5, "Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limits so that he cannot pass." So we cannot prolong our days any further than what God has determined that they will be. In Psalm 139:16, it says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them." So every day of our life, from beginning to end, was written before it came to pass. That does not take away our responsibility. We still have choices that we make. Just because our days are written doesn't mean that we aren't responsible for what we do in them. The point here is that we have a limited time here on the earth to do what God calls us to do. So here and now, in this life, we are to glorify God. Part of giving him glory is to capture the opportunities that God places before us to serve him. This now is the moment in time that we have to live for God. We should not put off any opportunity that we have now until tomorrow. We should value our time. Once it's passed, we can never regain it. In Psalm 90, verse 12, in the prayer of Moses, he says, "So teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This is walking wisely, circumspectly. When we number our days, when we consider that we may not have tomorrow, and live each day that we do have to the maximum, to the glory of God, making the most of our time.
Isn't that also the rule of love?
Yeah.
So the song sounds like that.
Yeah, that came to mind too, yeah.
It came to my mind. And about the, also the parable of the ones that were some idle in the marketplace, he told me what he had, the person who last.
Okay. So each day is a gift from God. He has given us today. We should use today wisely. And not only is there limited time, but there are opportunities that God places for us. Isaiah says to seek the Lord while he may be found, call upon him while he is near. Paul says, now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. So the call of the gospel is an urgent call. We have today to respond. So if you are not sure whether or not you are really saved, do it now. That is the message that we give to the unbeliever. Come to Christ now, today, while you have the opportunity, before it is too late. So there's an urgency to the message of the gospel, and there's an urgency to spread the gospel, because we may not have tomorrow. And in line with that, one of the Puritans in the 17th century, Richard Baxter, once wrote, I preached as never sure to preach again, and as a dying man to dying men, because he did not know whether he had another chance to preach to them. So he was a dying man preaching, and he didn't know whether they would be around tomorrow to hear again. So he was preaching to dying men. So we are to make the most of our time. We may not see tomorrow. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Post not about tomorrow. No, not what tomorrow is waiting for tomorrow.
Exactly.
Don't know if you can allow us to wait for tomorrow.
There was another Puritan in America in the 18th century named Jonathan Edwards, who had made some resolutions at an early age. One was he resolved and never to do anything that he should be afraid to do if it were the last hour of his life. So focusing on the very last hour of your life will bring to the surface what is important. If God were somehow to tell you that you had 1 hour to live right now and the clock is ticking, what would you do?
Amen. Yeah.
Yeah. Right, right. He doesn't tell us. We don't know the number of our days, but we should be living as though it is coming to an end.
Think about what that's just saying. What would you have wanted out? What would they have to do? They would go to their love, or tell their love, reach out and hang. If they weren't, if there's some of them that weren't saved, what would they really do? Hey, you got to know the truth, you know?
So, you're reading my notes.
Exactly. Well, I was
yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Now it's there.
Yeah.
I'm going to leave it on the out right on the corner of human out the word. Because I would hear people having to do it now. I know some of it, but I do do it now. I do do it now. I don't go out screaming that the Lord took people in front of me that I am. But this time, I will try to get hundreds of people. I have a parking lot of outlets or something. You know. They may take up nothing, but that's what you could do.
So that,
but it does mean you should still do that kind of stuff.
Jesus even said in Matthew 6:30, whether the clothes, the food, Jesus even said, take no thought for tomorrow. So we live today and now.
That's not to say we don't make plans or consider long-term consequences.
We make plans for tomorrow. Are we boasting not about tomorrow? Do we know not what tomorrow will bring?
That's just something. You know, when you see the wife, you want to serve the Lord. Something we said about that. You will not be serving God, but to the husband, and that's the way it is. He knows that. So the wife is not going to serve each other.
Yeah, Paul desired that if they could, they would stay unmarried and serve the Lord more fully. Yes.
But if you are married, you need time and Galatians 1:6 says, "And marvel that you are turning away so soon from Him who called you to the grace of Christ to a different house, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel." Nothing wrong with it as long as it's keeping.
Just recognize it may not come to pass.
Exactly. Yeah. If he waits, yep. You know, and he's right. And know where you're going.
Right.
Well, you mentioned more ago about me. Mm-hmm. God's word says how to address that. And it tells you in James chapter 4. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a theory and buy itself and gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. So that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do for that. But now you will see your boasting all such. So, if we make plans, we'll say, if the Lord allows me to live till that day and be his will, do that on that day.
Of course, recognize that that it may not happen.
That last verse, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is said.
Exactly.
So, along those lines of if you had 1 hour left to live, what would be important then? Are there relationships you would try to restore? Sins that you would confess and repent of? Would you share the gospel with unbelievers? So what is most important in the last hour of your life, these are the things that we should be devoting ourselves to on an ongoing basis. If there's anything you need to do now, go do it. Don't stay.
Yeah. Do it now before you get that 1 hour.
Right.
Call me. Not that I graduate from Florida and never return. That's all I'm sorry. Yeah, you're right.
So by placing the last hour of your life, the very end, by placing that in front of us, we get a proper perspective of what's the best use of our time. We should live each moment as though it may be the last hour of our life. And then moving beyond that, what will be important in the first hour of the afterlife, that is, after we pass, what will be important in eternity? That should be what is important to us now in this life. Yes, that is the one thing of most importance, is to know God or to be known by Him. But what is your hope when you leave this life and enter the next, and how does this affect your life here and now? In Hebrews 11, we're told about Moses. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. So Moses did not live for temporary things, the passing pleasures in this life, but he looked to eternity, the reward. And that is also what Jesus looked to. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. So he endured suffering, looking to the reward. That is the salvation of men. So we should live the time that God has given us with an eye on eternity, rather than making decisions based on temporary pleasures. We should base them on what is the will of the Lord, or what will last for eternity. It is. I told you, I'm teaching myself here. I struggle with this a lot. I do waste much time, far too much. But
self-centeredness is terrible for God, not me. You know, even though I need the Lord redeeming to my life, I have to say, I'm being spirit driven. You're not really God first, right? But you have to be in the spirit. You have to think about you to be in the spirit. So to say, you can't help anybody if you're already at the door.
That's right. But you know what happened? Way most of us follow questions. People in my category, and they'll let me say, crazy people. I've learned in my life how to solve. Therefore, I'm not with that. Because I've learned how to solve. So therefore, there's always, for what reason? Because I don't think, what was I doing? You know, was I doing it to say, well, for the time, you know, was I doing it for, like, finish his class, the phone number, the years, 28, nothing else. When you do things, you're doing it out of guilt. How many times do things because I'm not worthy and I feel, right, whatever. So, yeah, so, let's see, the cross, and the work of that cross, and the blood of Christ, it doesn't deal with that. It's not, I gotta stop thinking about that. I gotta be called. He's done it all.
That's right. You've been washed in the blood. Otherwise, you wouldn't have received the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, he's done it. So, but I'm still the old. Show up the screen. Oh, look at that. Remember that? You know, but it's all been taken.
Man. Yeah, that's exactly
what I'm saying. Yeah. But we still, part of us, like Ryan said, part of us, you know, and you know what? It's the closest to us.
Oh,
yeah, whether it be girlfriend, boyfriend, wife,
the best friend,
best friend. Yeah. You know, they're the ones, you know, the fuse is short.
I want to.
Sure.
Even with Robin.
Yeah.
You know, there's Vermont in the hospital, been in there quite a while, and things are not getting better. You know, the worst. They actually start getting out. Yeah. With the guy she married, Stan, he is just a real power control person, okay? So, I'm having you, because Robin's my best friend, use that and leave the key so I can make copies so I can come, you know, do things that my mom wants me to do. I'm always letting him know I have a he's just being a Douglas Heels, and, you know. So, I'm getting riled up at that, you know, and I remember I finally went into the room, dropped his own knees and said, Lord, I put all of this in your hands. You got it. You got the mess. You know what you've done. Just let me be. Show me. And let me do it again. I could be there for Robin to give her strength. Pray for strength and courage for her. You know, but you know, I got to remember I got to do it in the doctor. Oh, yeah. She's born again. Oh, yeah. Definitely. You know, she's definitely born again. Yeah. Well, I'll pray for her. Yeah. That's exactly what I do that with her. I know who the other day is.
Pray with her. That's just good about all the time. We talk about how, and it's hard, those feelings are there, you know, like, yeah, even though you want to hear, well, take it away, but still, today at the jail, we were there at 2:30, 1, anyway. But Mike, that's 25 words. We didn't even do one verse. You know, it became a big discussion. Right? It became like, you know, it was great, man. It was great, you know. So,
what the old code was like.
So tell
you
what, right?
You know, the one I'm hearing today, it's a little bit somewhere else.
You know, we're so blessed because we have our fellowship with each other here. Words, you know, and we got church, we got pastor, and you know what? Without my family, if I was to walk away and stay away, after about a week, I'm like, oh boy, I'm hurt. You know, it's like, I've got to be here.
Absolutely.
This is my, you know, meeting where the Holy Spirit is strong, you know, and I can hear things, I can share my heart.
Okay, you know, yeah, absolutely. Look at this over here.
Yeah,
and it's.
Oh,
right.
Yeah, look at this group all over the world.
You know,
all over the world. This is the way it's at. That is normal.
So it was great.
And because then really Ryan had set up, because we know these days are easy. They are. And we're good, we are good people, I know that.
It's really incredible to
And part of the evil world. You know, your harvest is good and you see it everywhere. I mean, there's real people out there. There's murder and the rapists, and then there's these sick people. We all see it on here. And then there's the wars that are going on. Those are evil things.
Government lies to you, all kinds of terrible things.
And then it goes on this. The Christian is the most persecuted person on earth. You know, and where is our two beliefs? Love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and spirit, and love thy neighbor. And who can that person really be the most persecuted? That's right. It's just righteous right there. That's right. Righteous. In many ways. They are, they're in the person.
Wars and rumors
and earthquakes. And earthquakes. These things are happening rapid numbers within the last 4 years. Now, this year is extremely rapid.
Taking place.
Number Puerto Rico, I mean, it's like underwater, the whole country, you know.
We don't know for sure.
We're going to have 8.9 earthquakes. Dig it in all of our.
That's the one in Mexico you're talking about?
Yellowstone, so 3,000 earthquakes in the last few months. 3,000.
Mexico had two major ones just a week apart or so.
That 8.9 has never been registered yet. That must have been something like that.
You got to notice what the scripture says.
The same,
well, Matthew 24 says earthquakes in diverse places. Mark 13 says earthquakes in diverse places. But Luke says it differently. It says great earthquakes, which means big magnitude. You mentioned wars and rumors of wars. If that is taking place, that cross references right in to the white and red horse, Revelation 6.
We're not being at I look at it, maybe we will be here for a little bit of it. I don't know. It's all in God's hands. You know, there's those that say that we're going to take immediately, those that say we'll be here a little while, those that say, we have 3.5 years, then we'll be safe. You know what? It's all in the end. You can't dwell on it. No.
Well, what you're saying, Frank.
It'll make it difficult to do that.
Right, what you're saying right there, what you just said reminds me of that scripture that says you discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the time.
Right.
That's right. It's all in God's hands.
I
just think that we're all here and we're being blessed by
you. We need it now.
So how do we change our things? How do we get over it? How do we get through it? And why do we always do the same thing? Why do we want to do it?
Paul says that, keep doing the same thing that
you
don't
want to
do. Exactly. Even Paul recognized that in there. Paul says, and I stay in the flesh. Instead of saying, because I'd rather be in the spirit, but for the others, he stayed in the flesh. You know, John, listen, man, when I say, I cried, I was praying to Jesus, and I just, what, please help me do this. And he said to me, he came to me, what did you want me to do here? I bought down for the time. This is the word that was in my heart. What did you want me to do? I want to stop. Relax. Slow down. Stop. I've already done. You've already been saying. You said.
In other words, you got washed in the blood, sealed with the Holy Spirit, and that's why you felt all the love, joy, and peace you felt.
Right. But inside my turmoil of trying to be a better person, trying to be, it's like in battle to say, I don't know, but and that's what he said. He said, stop. What did you want me to do here? But what is there to be doing? Something should be happening, and it wasn't, but it is, we are in faith.
That's right.
So, and simply said, well, if that's the case, I'll just go off and do that. To a real true Christian, he would never think that way. It just makes us one of the better people.
Exactly.
And quite a Christian is quite a lot.
That's because he changed your heart. As long as changes the heart is the difference.
That may be exactly what we're talking about. Since
that's why I don't want to go to the battle.
For me, I dealt with that, but I always prayed, Lord, make make me the man that you would have, because I know I'm not perfect, but we're striving to be perfect right here on a daily basis, you know? So make me that man you would have.
in fact, you have to say in spite of yourself, because I know I don't want to get in there and, you know, say, well, when you do this,
no, I'm saying, when you have to do this, you're going to come and go right in. You're part of the ministry, right? You're being on the beam.
Some
of
your own teacher, right?
You're going to have a little more fun. And you're going to say, why did I do that? Why? And then that, and you're
going to say, I haven't done that in years of being.
Okay.
You're going to need a guy with a ding, ding, ding.
I'm sorry.
Let's get back to wasting our time.
Sorry, I thought you'd never speak up.
I ain't gonna get up and go and get down and drink it.
Well, there are.
You can call us tonight, though, really, Mike. You really have a little heart here.
There are three main categories, I guess, of what is wasting the time in Scripture. First, there are those who are involved in idleness or doing nothing. The Proverbs speak much about the sluggard, the lazy, the sleeper. The second category are those who are involved in wickedness. As we've just seen in the last few weeks, they are those who lie, who speak corrupting, harmful words, who walk in fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. They have no positive use of their time. And the third category are those who are devoted to worldly pursuits. Jesus speaks of them in Matthew 5. They are those who are consumed with what they shall eat, what they shall drink, and how they will be clothed. They spend all their efforts on laying up for themselves treasures on earth with no mind for treasures in heaven. So those three categories are things that would waste time. Not that we don't work and provide a living, but that is not our focus. Our goal is not to just lay up treasures for ourselves. So how can we make the best use of our time?
Laying up treasures in heaven.
Witnessing.
And you should all that we do will give praise and glory by hearing God.
Oh. Good. We should consider first that we will give an account to God for how we have lived, how we have used the time given to us. Have we hidden it in a field, or have we invested it and earned eternal reward? Or another way to make better use of our time is to consider the time that we have already lost. We have wasted enough time already. There is not enough to waste anymore. As we mature, God does give us more responsibilities, more opportunities, and we have less time to do a greater amount of work the further along we go. And as we grow older, our physical capability is lessened, so we have less time to do more work with less energy. So we should do what we are able to do now, not waiting until our body is unable to do what is in our mind to do. The third way is to consider those who are at the end of their time on their deathbeds. What are their last words? What things are important to them? Do they want more money or a better job? Is that what's important when you're coming to the end of your life? Yeah. And the fourth point is to consider those who have already passed on. Those who have missed the opportunity to believe, what are their thoughts now? We see in Luke 16, the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus had gone to the place of torment and punishment. The rich man had. Lazarus was in Abraham's bosom. But what was important for the rich man at that point? First, he wanted comfort for himself. He wanted water, exactly. And when that was denied, he desired that his living brothers would not come to experience the torment, the same torment that he was. So if we consider these things, we should make better use of our time. Yes.
You're saying Why don't you?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, your God's more higher than water.
I don't see that, but well, that the water.
Well, was it? You say that
he wanted his brothers to not hold the joint in that town.
Did you say the same?
First, he wanted water to comfort his burning.
No, he wanted water to quench his
thirst.
Yeah.
So it was about self.
He never thought he was in hell. Yes.
Was in hell.
Thank you.
Right.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So he wanted it.
Right.
Absolutely. It's all about him.
It wasn't me wanting to help him up there.
I'm not gonna.
Well. Now he knows, and you know why he was there. He's talking about it, right? He said, Lazarus dead at the time.
This was a different Lazarus in the story. But we don't really have any background on
this.
Right. So we are to make the best use of our time because the days are evil. Evil days are days in which sin abounds. Sin is prevalent all around us, and that is a good reason why we should seize every opportunity to do good and to make the most of our time. One commentator said, left to themselves, the days are evil, but they can be redeemed from evil for good by Christian people. I think we can probably stop here and pick up at verse 17 next week.
I go back to the motel, and who do you think is there? So I'm like, I walk in, there's this lady, the black lady. I said, well, I know. Turns out to be, she's from Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, come on. Right next to me. And I didn't know that. I just say that. I said, you put in? She says, no, I addressed it. She said, have you put in? I said, yeah. She says, I probably have. Yeah.
And if you know what it's all about,
is that the one that's on the
door? Yeah.
Do me a favor.
Let Jenny know the name of that.
She I told
no,
but it's just Jenny. Jenny, who drives the school bus.
Okay.
Jenny, she's been out. She was out almost 2 weeks without one. So I told
Jenny. You need to make a big name.
But I forgot the name of it.
But
I think it's the phone.
Hold on. Isn't it something called or do something? That
and then it'll say, do you want to put in a claim? You say yes. And then say what lady to what? Well, they already came, whatever they
say. See, now somebody told me there's another one too that you name, and then it's that government POV. It's probably the same thing.
They say, so I think
so. Not really cross. It might be really cross.
Yeah. But I mean, I wanted to get it for you because, I'll give you the phone number.
Okay,
call on you. It's okay.
No, 800.
You know, I have to go next door to the woman that told me
how
to get it.
She said,
I'll
get it. 800.
Is it in here?
Okay. Let's pray, and then we can. Yes, pray without ceasing. Thank you, Father, again, and help me, help us all to use our time the way you would have us to use it. Help me to keep my mind set on what is truly important in your sight. Help me to discern what is your will. Help me to walk carefully, not to stray from the steps you have laid out. Help us to just to make good use of every opportunity to be watchful and to be aware of these opportunities for service. Give us boldness to act and to speak on your behalf. In Jesus' name, amen.